Lesson is a very simple lesson, at least in my preacher's mind anyways. We're going to talk about measuring. Of course, our theme for the year is being vessels of honor, right? And just to that statement, understand there's a measuring taking place in that statement, right? There's a measuring of giving a standard, right? There's a standard of being vessels of honor. So just about anything that we look at in the Bible concerning our faith, there's a measuring that's taking place. You know, when you're going to build something, of course, you need to do some measuring. You just have to measure. Now, sometimes it's hard to measure certain things. Sometimes when something is measured, it's then difficult to understand that measurement. You know, if an astronomer said, you know, such and such galaxies 100 million light years away, right? Well, I can't wrap my mind around that. But, you know, there's simpler things to understand. I understand what a yard is and what a meter is. I understand, you know, what 12 ounces is, or a pound, or 5 pounds. There's certain things that I do understand, right? And so with that in mind, we know that if you're building something, you have to measure, right? And of course, we're building this congregation for the glory of the Lord. So there's some measuring that needs to take place. So let's talk about measuring and being honest in that measurement. I have a couple more examples here before we get into our 5 main points for the lesson here. So the question is, do we want to do that? Do we want to start measuring things? Because when you measure things and you deal with it honestly, sometimes what you're measuring doesn't measure up. Right? So if we are honest and we measure what we need to measure and we fall short, are we going to say, yeah, we've fallen short, and you know that's something we need to fix. That's something that we need to deal with honestly. Right? Or we could do the opposite of that and rationalize it away. Let's just, you know, leave good enough alone. Let's not rock the boat. You know, we have that option also, right? Things are going okay. We'll just leave it the way it is. That's an option. Or we can measure. If we fall short, be honest with that and say, all right, what do we need to do to fix it? And so, you know, the Bible gives us, it's just doing measuring in many different places. And this is a good example, I thought, because we're pretty familiar right here with this passage. In the book of Hebrews, right? We know this passage well. There's a measuring going on here in this chapter. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's a measurement. Right? There's a standard of the gathering of the saints, right? And the reason behind that, right? God has standards, and we do it, of course, in that to build each other up. That's part of it. But there's an example there of a measuring. The seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, right? Seven of the churches, they're getting measured. These seven churches here, right? Ephesus, good. Smyrna, bad. Pergamos, bad. Thyatira, bad. Sardis, bad. Philadelphia, good. Laodicea, bad. Right? There's a measuring that's happening in that. You know, and so naturally we would hope as a congregation that we would be a strong one. Right? But that isn't always the case, right? We would like to be, but you know, if we're honest, we're probably falling short in some areas. Now, a measurement can't be this. We got a beautiful building, right? That's not a measurement of a strong church. It can't be, well, the lights are on, a bill's got paid, preacher got paid, we're doing pretty good. It can't be, as an organization, we're running pretty smooth. Or it can't be about, you know, we've got X amount of programs or classes or whatever, that's not a measure of a strong church, right? Because you can have all of those things and be dead, right? For example, this church at Laodicea, right? Verse 15, chapter 3, Revelation, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So in this lesson here, I want to suggest a better way to measure the church. And I want us to think about in terms of a body, a family, a temple, a kingdom, and a bride. And I know those are terms for the universal church, but I think we can take those figures of speech and apply them to us to help us properly measure. So before we get to those 5 points, I also wanted to mention this. You know, Satan loves to, you know, he gets a vote in a lot of things. You know, he's powerful, he's involved. And his vote is that when things are going good, right, he's going to try to do something to get us to stumble, to fall short, right? And so, you know, he does what he does. And so we need to be mindful of that. And he doesn't want us to measure ourselves or use faulty measuring. Or if we even measure and realize we're not measuring up, to then not do anything about it. He's happy with all of that, right? And so, you know, it just seems like whenever a congregation is doing well, or even in the life of an individual Christian, right? You know, before you obey the gospel, he had you, and you see it all the time. Someone obeys the gospel, and many times within weeks or months, they're gone. Where do you see, you know, at least half of them are gone, if not more. I know we have some responsibility in that. The same thing with the church, right? When a church is doing well, congregation's doing well, things are going well, boy, he loves to try to slip something in there and tear some things up. So let's be mindful of that. So number one, I want us to think about the measure of a strong church. Number one, it functions like a body. So in 1 Corinthians, if you would, open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to note here in verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, right? And so as such, it is an organism rather than simply an organization. Because you can have an organization, but it still not have life. You can have a body, but it still be a corpse, right? And, you know, you can have a foot connect to a leg, connect to the body, but if the body's dead, right, it can just easily be said about a corpse, as with a living body. So the body of Christ has many members, and, of course, each has a purpose. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, if you would read this with me. Listen, the body of Christ has many members, not all have the same function. Romans 12, 3 through 8, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For, now I'm reading out of the New American Standard for the first time in a long time in my sermon, so I'm pulling that out there for all of our New King James folks. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, his service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Right, we're all parts of the same body, but different functions. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 again. 1 Corinthians 12, right? Every member must appreciate his or her own function in the body, right? And this is why it's so important to be identified with a particular body of believers, a particular congregation, right? Because you are commanded, not only, of course, to serve under the submission of an eldership, but you're commanded to be part of that body and its functioning. So every member needs to appreciate his or her own function. Verses 14 through 19, we're going to read all this. Every member must appreciate the function of others. Let's just read 20 through 22. But now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Right? So every member needs to appreciate his or her function within the body. Next, the body must have members who fulfill their function in this sense, Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, right? And so the growth occurs when every part does its share. Verses 15 and 16, Ephesians chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Right? We need to understand that, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So that, I think that's a good way to look at this. Right? And so when a part of the body is weak, it affects the whole body. Right? Then the healthy parts of the body spend in more time on the weak part of the body and not doing other functions. And so you can see how it works in this illustration here. So we need to acknowledge when we're doing that measuring, you know, how we fit within the body. Are we doing what we should be doing? And, you know, if we're falling short of that, we can rationalize it away, or we can say, you know what? You know, I'm going to step up and do more for the Lord's church, for the glory of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, if you would. Number 2, a strong church loves like a family. So the church is a household of God. Paul writes here in 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, I write so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. It is a family of God. It's a household of God. And this is the language here. We're getting household language and family language as it describes the church. And in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, some more language here. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, right? So we got family language there. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Right? And a strong family is where there's concern for one another, there's care for each other, and there's love for each other. And the church at Thessalonica here is a great example of this in verses 9 and 10. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are all in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And you see similar language there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 3, right? So how do we measure collectively, how do you measure individually in your love for the brethren? What we read right here, does that describe us? If not, it should, right? If it doesn't, how do we grow in this area, right? You see, to develop a sense that a family requires, we got to spend time with one another, right? We got to get to know one another. When we have opportunities like the fish fry on Saturday, right? That's where we learn about each other and spend time together and learn to grow in our care for each other, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we're to bear one another's burdens. I can't bear your burdens if I don't know what they are. But how well do we love one another? And are we falling short in that area? If so, let's do something about it. Number three, the measure of a strong church praises like a temple. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, that might sound kind of odd at first, but listen here. Temples, you know, even pagan temples of old that were built, the purpose of those temples was to praise whatever being that they were going to worship, right? And so that's the purpose of a temple. And in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, right, just think about the layout of the temple or the tabernacle. And its whole purpose, the way that God designed it, was all about sacrifice, it was all about praise, and it was all about gaining a closeness to God. Right? When you think about everything that made up the temple. Right? The design of the structure itself was designed to praise. The sacrifice and the praises and the worship were just designed to render praise to Almighty God. And the church is God's temple today. So 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, do you not know that you, now the you there, the pronoun is the church, you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, the church. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we are looking at quite a few different passages this evening here. But I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Right, we are the temple, the body of Christ, the church, and individually we are priests in that temple. And as priests in that temple, the church, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So in verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 2, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then our purpose, drop down to verses 9 and 10, our purpose is to proclaim the praises of God. That's what your purpose is. Your purpose isn't to get to heaven. Your purpose is to praise and magnify God in your life, in his kingdom, in the church right now. The results of that will be heaven. So verses 9 and 10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that, see all of those things, so that you may proclaim, here's your purpose, the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we talked about that this morning, didn't we? Right? There's this one environment Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 of death, disease, sin, right? But this other environment over here, that's what he's talking about, right? And the kingdom of the Son of his love in Colossians 1 and verse 13, we're going to read in a moment, but his marvelous light also. And so that's our purpose. Now go back just a little bit in your Bible to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, so how do we offer sacrifices of praise to God? Well, here's just a couple examples. By lifting up our voices in song and prayer. Look at chapter 13, verse 15 of Hebrews. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips, and give thanks to his name. We do so, John 4, 24, by worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now look at verse 16, same chapter here. By doing good deeds. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Now, under the Old Covenant, you'd go to the temple or tabernacle and offer up a lamb or a dove if you were poor, and then the priest would come and offer that sacrifice on the altar. Well, we still offer up sacrifices, but they look different, right? We don't go to the altar anymore. Right, our spiritual sacrifice right here, we do good deeds. We sing praises to God with the fruit of our lips. right? There's many more, but I think you get the idea here. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says it there also. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices, right? So measuring yourself, measuring us, how are we doing in that arena? Are we falling short? How each of us praises God with our voices, our body, our service, is a true measure of this church. All right, number four, measuring of a strong church is that it submits like a kingdom. Colossians chapter 1. We submit like a kingdom, right? And as a church, we are privileged to be part of the kingdom of Christ. What a privilege it is. As were the folks here, the brethren at in Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 13. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. What a great and wonderful blessing that is. But what we need to understand in all of this, when we get to verse 18 of chapter 1 in Colossians, Christ is the head. Head of the body, head of the kingdom, head of the church, head of the household of God. He is king. So if there's a king, you got a kingdom. And we are citizens of that kingdom. And I think a lot of folks say, yeah, Jesus is the king, but we kind of treat him like the king or queen of England, right? Where the king is only a figurehead and the real powers in parliament. That might be great for politics, but not in the Lord's church. And the point is, he has all authority, right? He has all authority, and we are to submit to him as king of the kingdom. Right, is that how we view our part in the kingdom? Right, he has all authority, he decides everything. Right, so we always need to constantly measure ourselves in this area and how each individual member of this body submits to Christ as king of the kingdom. And so the measure of a strong, faithful church is that we submit to our king. All right, number five, finally here, measure of a strong church, if you go to 2 Corinthians 11, is that we are pure as a bride. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. You know, Paul here, I want you to note, thought of the church as a bride. In 2 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, and he says, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Right? One that he had betrothed to Christ. One that has a responsibility to be pure and chaste. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 25, Christ thinks of the church the same here also. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Right? He offered himself to enable her to be pure and holy, right? And he did this out of great love for her being the church, us. You know, John in Revelation chapter 19 foretold of a future marriage. And before I read this, actually I want to read 7 through 9 here in Revelation 19. You know, keeping the church pure, holy and chaste, make sure that you support the elders in that and you thank them for what they do, have to do many times and have done in the past, dealing with these issues, right? It's not the preacher, and I'm thankful for that. And I've known it personally. I won't tell you when or how long ago they've had to do that difficult job. Keeping the church pure. And it's a very difficult thing to do, right? So pray for them, support them, and encourage them, thank them for what they do for this congregation. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Right? The church has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And note that she has made herself ready. She was adorned by the righteous acts of the saints. And as the bride awaiting marriage, we must maintain our purity and adornment, right? And so that's a constant work. It's not easy. We're grateful to have faithful leaders that help us in that endeavor. And so I want us to think here by way of conclusion. And you start to put it all together in this, right? You think about what's a measure of a strong church. Well, it's one that functions like a body, loves like a family, praises like a temple, submits like a kingdom, and is pure as a bride. So then here's the big question. Do we measure up? Do we measure up? We may have the best organization, all the outward signs of a strong congregation, but are we just like Sardis here in Revelation 3, where he writes, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Right? Are all of us doing what we can do, right, to make the church strong in the eyes of the Lord? Right, so that's the question for us, and let's not be guilty of thinking, well, yeah, you know, we need to do this, that, and the other thing, but you know, that's for brother, sister, so and so to take care of, right? And so the plea for all of us is, you know, to ask that question: what can I do? Right? You ask what you can do. I need to ask, what can I do to help the Lord's congregation in all those different areas? And I would say, on top of all of that, it takes humility, right? That's one of those things that's very difficult for Satan to overcome, is when God's people are humble. When we're humbling in that measurement process, when we're humble and recognizing maybe we've fallen short, you know, recognizing we, you know, haven't done our part as the body, and then helping others in those areas also. So let's keep that in mind this evening. If you are subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you with that. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, let's do that. What a great blessed day would be if you put on Christ in baptism with a responsive faith. Or if you've done that, you've fallen away, or something you want to bring before the church, if we can help you be reconciled to God in any way, or just to encourage you, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.